Hi, everybody. This is Marlene with Miami Ghost Chronicles, Stories of the Supernatural. And I'm releasing this video a little bit late than my usual Friday ones because, just as that title indicates, I was a victim of paranormal sabotage. Originally, and it's really funny, I had another guest scheduled from 2 weeks ahead of time who was supposed to do a show with me Friday, this last Friday. She was very nice and she called me during the daytime. She was having a little bit of car trouble, but she was traveling, and we were gonna do the interview later that night. Which, by the way, I had made sure that everything was ready to go. My recordings, I had tested it, retested it. I want to make that clear. But anyway, so she called me about an hour before we were supposed to do the interview, and she tells me her car broke down. And I said, you know what, take care, absolutely, which we're later on, we're going to do the show. And I contacted Rita Strugala, which is a paranormal investigator, but also a lead exorcist with Southern Paranormal. Okay. As a matter of fact, she really doesn't per se do any more of the paranormal investigations. She's, as a matter of fact, she's a reverend with a sacred order of exorcist, and she was telling me, you know, that this is what they do full time because they have so many requests. But anyway, I had scheduled Rita a couple of weeks from last Friday, and she was kind enough on a last minute request to do the interview with me. So I got her on Skype, everything was fine. And again, we're connected, and before I even started rolling, we were just checking. We're listening to each other. It drops. The audio drops, stops. And I see her smiling on the other end. And I'm like, can you hear me? And we couldn't hear each other. Finally, when I get her back on, she tells me, this is very common. She goes, demonic interference or spiritual interference. They do this all the time, especially with electronics. You know, and I've seen this in a lot of the shows. And I had a couple of minor things happen to me while on investigations, but nothing like this. And I was like, Okay, but anyway, reset all the audio, everything. We started rolling, and I thought we were just rolling right along. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna let you see, you know, exactly. I'm gonna show you a little clip of what I thought was a great interview, just a little clip, and you can see that's me at the beginning of the show. This is last Friday, okay? And obviously, you're gonna see in a minute, read on the other end, and we're talking to each other. Everything is, we're thinking is fine, okay? Guess what? It wasn't. After a great, and I mean a great, 2 hour interview with her, where she talked about what she does, her most interesting cases. It was just a really fantastic interview. And like I said, she did this very, very, like, I mean, she saved my butt because she did this interview on a last minute basis. When we're through, and I look at I usually review the video. There's no audio, none. Zero. Okay. Which is why I'm going to release this show, even if it's a little bit late, but now it's going to be about paranormal sabotage. And by the way, even though I'm going to do a couple of videos about some of the exorcisms that Rita and her team have been involved in, I'm going to put this part of this show later on. She is going to come back and do that one-on-one interview with me because she has so much interesting information, not only about her background, what she does. You know, things, you know, how this affects her personal life and just everything. She's just very nice lady, very interesting, has a lot of years, I would say over 30 years of experience in this field. And like I said, I have a really interesting show, something I put together because I was the victim of paranormal sabotage. Okay. And believe me, I'm very careful about making sure my connections, my video, my audio are working okay, especially when it comes to an interview, because basically you can't redo that. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to let you see now the first video, which has to do with an exorcism that she did with one of, you know, and of course, there's no mention of names or locations, just so you can see what the type of work that Rita and her team does.
Pray for us.
Fabian and Sebastian.
Pray for us.
John and Paul.
Pray for us.
Cosma and Demaya.
Pray for us.
Gervais and Potes.
Pray for us.
All holy martyrs.
Pray for us.
Sylvester.
Pray for us.
Brian Gregory.
Pray for us.
Ambrose.
Pray for us.
Augustine.
Pray for us.
Rome.
Pray for us.
Martin.
Pray for us.
Nichols.
Pray for us.
All holy bishops and confessors.
Pray for us.
All holy doctors.
Pray for us.
Saint Anthony.
Pray for us.
Saint Benedict.
Pray for us.
Saint Bernard.
Pray for us.
Saint Dominic.
Pray for us.
Saint Francis.
Pray for us.
Priests and Levites.
Pray for us.
Holy monks and hermits.
Pray for us.
Saint Mary Magdalene.
Pray for us.
Saint Agatha.
Pray for us.
Lucy.
Pray for us.
Saint Agnes.
Pray for us.
Cecilia.
Pray for us.
Catherine.
Pray for us.
Anastasia.
Pray for us.
All holy virgins and widows.
Pray for us.
All holy saints of God.
Pray for us.
Intercede for us. Be merciful.
Pray for us.
Spare us, O Lord.
Pray for us.
Be merciful.
Graciously hear us, O Lord.
From all evil deliver us, O Lord.
From all sin.
From all wrath.
Wrath
from sudden and unprovided death, from the snares of the devil.
Deliver us, O Lord.
I've seen meaner and bigger ones than you.
And up in you.
I don't scare.
Deliver us, O Lord.
Deliver
God,
us.
God, whose nature is ever merciful and forgiving, accept our prayers that this servant of yours, bound with the fetters of sin, may be pardoned by your loving kindness. Holy Lord. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who once and for all consigned that fallen and apostate tyrant
angels
to the flames of hell.
Angels all around me.
Who sent your only begotten Son into the world to crush that roaring lion. Hasten to our call for help and snatch from ruination and from the clutches of the noonday devil, this human being made in your image and likeness. Strike terror, Lord, into the beast now laying waste in your vineyard. Fill your servants with courage to fight manfully against that retrobate dragon, lest he despise those who put their trust in you and say with pharaohs of old, I know not God.
Don't.
Nor will I set Israel free. Let your mighty hand cast him out of your servant. The name of the person. Shelley?
Yes.
So that she may no longer be held captive, this person may be pleased, may please you to make, that you made in your image, and to redeem through your Son, whose lives
stop.
And reigns with lives and reigns with
Jesus,
you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever. With the blood of Jesus, I anoint you with the blood of Jesus. I command you, unclean spirit, whoever you are, along with all your minions now attacking the servant of God by the mysteries and the incarnation, passion, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the descent of the Holy Spirit, by the coming of our Lord for judgment, that you tell me by some sign your name.
What is your name?
What is your name?
What is your name?
Tell me again your name. I command you, moreover, to obey me to the letter. I, who am a minister of God, despite my unworthiness, nor shall you embolden to harm in any way this creature of God, or the bystanders, or any of their possessions.
You will kill nobody.
No.
Watch it.
been trying to.
Rose, let him get in there, Rose. Rose, back up. Thank you.
And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. May Jesus, Son of Mary, Lord and Savior of the world, through the intercession of the Holy Peter, Paul, and all his saints, show you favor and mercy. Amen.
Amen.
Lord be with you. The beginning of the Holy Gospel.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
The Holy
thy
Gospel.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
When time began, the Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14.
Did you want over here? I'm not sure where to go.
Began,
get out of your way.
The Word was there, and the Word
Rose.
Was face to face with God, and the Word
Rose.
Was God.
Please.
This Word, when time began, was face to face with God. All things came unto
the holy man has to get in there.
Him. And without him, there came to be not one thing that has come to be. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not lay hold of it. There came upon the scene a man, a messenger of God, whose name was John. This man came to give testimony, to testify on behalf of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not himself in the light. He only was to testify on behalf of the light. Meanwhile, the true light, which illuminates every man, was making his entrance into the world. He was in the world, and the world gave to be through him, and the world did not acknowledge him. He came unto his home, and his own people did not welcome him. But to as many as welcomed him, he gave the power to become children of God, those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood,
Demonica will go back to hell.
Desire or a man's will. No, they were born of God. The Word became man and lived among us, and we have looked upon his glory, such a glory as benefits the Father's only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. Thanks be to God.
Fuck you.
Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Praise the Lord.
You're going to sit still.
Shelly, cast it out. Shelly, I know you're in there. Cast it out.
Blood of Jesus.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command it. I bind you, demon, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus, you are bound.
Take your...
It is written. And whatsoever is bound on earth will be bound in heaven.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you. You have no authority. I command it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command it. It's not just I, but he who created the heavens and the earth command it. The angels command it. Michael the archangel command it.
Michael,
you are defeated.
Defeat this demon.
You own nothing but your own mere existence, which will be spent in eternity in hell with your buddy Satan. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by his authority, I command you to release this child of God and do no harm. And I command you now, look at me and go to the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ and let him deal with you in accordance to his will. You have no authority here. I have ultimate authority through Christ Jesus. He defeated you on the cross of Calvary, and you are defeated now. You are defeated. Gone.
It's time for you to leave.
It is Michael who cast you from heaven.
Come out of
it
her now.
It is Jesus who cast you from the demons, from the man of the Gadareans. And it is I and Jesus who cast you from this woman here. You have no authority. I break any contract, any appointment you've made with this child of God, and I command you to depart from her under the authority and the blood and the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot deny his deity. You are defeated. defeated.
You are Jesus found
in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
Holy Spirit, we call you down now.
The Son and the Holy Spirit.
Michael the Archangel, we call upon you and call you down.
Amen.
We ask for your strength and your prayers, Saint Benedict.
Amen.
You are defeated. And by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no choice but to go to the cross of Calvary and receive
amen.
Your punishment.
Amen.
No choice. I'm not going nowhere. I don't care what your name is, and I don't care when you got here.
It is time for you.
Shelly, I'm going to speak to you, and demon, you keep your mouth shut. You want to taste a little? I'm talking to Shelly.
No.
You want to talk to me?
Yes.
All right, let me tell you what we're going to talk about. You're going to leave this child of God right now, and you're going to the foot of the cross. And you're going to let Jesus deal with you in accordance to His will. Nothing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command it. By His authority in which I am anointed with.
Amen.
I am blood bought. I am sanctified and justified. And
amen.
You, demon, are defeated.
That's right.
In the name
amen.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can struggle. And you can struggle all you want to. But you're still defeated. Defeated. Shelly, I know you in there.
Fight it, Shelly. Cast it out.
You stronger than this. You done beat two of them.
It's already coming out.
Whoop
it's
it.
Going back to the fire. As
whoop it.
Cast
whoop
it
Shelly.
Out.
Cast it out.
In these words, I cast you out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Do it, Shelly.
Come on, Shelly.
Shelly, come on.
You're
Shelly,
in there.
You can do this.
It's coming
speak
out.
To me.
The angel
oh.
Come
on, Shelly.
It's going back to the fire.
This demon ain't got no power. You got ultimate power over your body.
Brother Billy. Here you go. Oil.
Oil and money. This there.
Yes, sir.
It's on your finger.
Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son,
and
of
the
Holy
Spirit.
Amen.
We claim this child in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the kingdom of God. Come on, Shelly, tell it.
Come on, do it, Shelly.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I
cast you out. Say it.
Say
come
it,
on.
Shelly.
Come on, say
cast
it.
Cast you out.
I cast
you out.
Out. In the name of
say
the
it,
Lord
Shelly.
Jesus Christ. Come on, you can
Shelly,
do it.
You can say
you
it.
Can do
I'm
this.
Not going nowhere, Damon, so you might as well just let her do it.
He's going.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of
he's
her.
Going.
You're gone.
You
going
will be gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
have no choice. You're going to the cross of Calvary.
Jesus.
Receive
amen.
Your punishment.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His authority. You are a blood-bought child of God, Shelly. You have the authority to cleanse this thing from you.
You can do it.
Hear me. I know you're in there. Ain't worried about you. I'll soak you down in holy water.
Give her the holy water bucket challenge.
We'll put it down your throat.
Right.
You won't like it then, will you? You'll be choking all the way out.
Now, I will talk to Shelly.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we will.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind you. I bind your lips. And I loose Shelly to speak to me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and His authority.
Shelly.
Come on, Shelly. Speak to me. Find it in you. I know you're in there.
You can do this.
I know you're in there. Speak to me.
Help.
Say these words.
Help.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
I cast you out. Say it again. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I cast you out. Come on, come on. I bound its lips. It can't say nothing. Come on, say it.
Come on, Shelly.
Say it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I
cast you out.
Come on, keep on, keep on. It's your space. Come on. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
I cast you out.
We cast you out.
I cast you out.
Yes.
Hey.
Yeah. Amen.
Hello, Shelly.
Oh,
hello, Shelly.
She's back.
Yay.
All right, she
probably
needs some water. Can I get her?
Yeah.
Yeah. Make mine a double.
You need it.
I need a beer.
I don't drink.
We don't either, honey.
I know.
Feel better?
It just sounds good.
Holy water's the strongest thing we drink.
Huh? Yeah, you got it. In fact, why am I got something?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I imagine they do. Come on, sit on it.
Not the salty stuff either.
Yeah.
You mean it's not
jam? It's not.
No,
I wouldn't care if it was chopped iron or not.
Hi, everybody. So what did you think, huh? Really interesting. And what I'd like to point out, these are everyday people that sometimes have been dealing or living or suffering, however you want to look at it, with demonic forces, spiritual interference, for years and years and years. And that's just one of the things that Rita told me about. She says, all they have to do is reach out. They have to contact us. Which, by the way, down in the credits, I am including a link to Rita's website if anybody that needs to contact them. But she says she can't help you. She's based out of Alabama, and she works in the surrounding states. And if you're really far away, sometimes she has somebody in that area that can help you out. So like I said, in the credits, there's a link to looking at the information about what she does, what her group does, and how to get a hold of them, in case you or someone that you know that you think that they are that they're living with some type of demonic possession, obsession, spiritual interference, anything of that nature, you can take the first step, which is to reach out and talk to her, or you know, send her a message. But anyway, I am going to have another short clip about another exorcism that her group did. Okay, but in the meantime, like all things, I said, you know what, I'm going to look at some other cases as far as things that happen to people, much worse than your audio not working, that was actually attributed to demonic interference or possession or anything of that nature. And believe it or not, I did find something from 1981. Okay. This is a case. It's called the Devil Made Me Do It case, or the Brookfield possession case. And as a matter of fact, back in 2007, Discovery Channel's A Haunting did a show on it, but you know, their version is more condensed. So I'm going to be playing a couple of clips about the people involved, and I'm going to read you the background on it. Okay. And as you can see, this was a case that ultimately there was a murder involved, and the family claims, or the defendant claimed, that it was due to demonic possession. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead, and then I'll come back, and we'll go into the last clip, which is another exorcism. But this is a very, very interesting case, okay, because of everything that was involved, including a child that was possessed, and the dangers of people being present around exorcisms, which really don't take it seriously, okay? And at the end, unfortunately, the evil that's surrounding that whole situation is the one that tries to have the last laugh. So, okay, here's some slides. This is about the books, and they had a book, movies, that had to do with this whole, like I said, it's called the Devil Made Me Do It case, okay? And basically, it's the trial of Arne Cheyenne Johnson, also known as the the defendant, and it is the first known court case in the United States in which the defense sought to prove innocence based on the defendant's claim of demonic possession and denial of personal responsibility for the crime. Now, this all started with 11-year-old David Glatzel, who was helping his only sister Deborah and her boyfriend, which is Arnie Cheyenne Johnson, who was 19, move into a rental home in a neighboring town of Newtown, Connecticut. Now, Arnie and Deborah were planning to move in along with Arnie's mother, Mary, and his three younger sisters, Janice, Wanda, and Mary. Now, in the rental house, oddly, there was one room that still had furniture in it. This was the master bedroom. It had a large canopied waterbed in the center of it. And those of you who were around in the 1980s will remember that waterbeds at this time were the big thing. Everybody, you know, that was somebody either had or wanted a waterbed. But anyway, this waterbed is still in the middle of the master bedroom. It's making it very difficult for them to clean, and they can't, you know, they can't move the furniture because it's a very heavy piece of furniture. Now, the previous tenant said that she was going to be coming back to dismantle it and move it. Okay, now, a short while later, while they're sweeping around this waterbed, David, who's the 11-year-old, is confronted by what he later describes as a see-through old man who was wearing a dirty plaid shirt with patchy holes in it. Now, the ghost man points at him and tells him to beware, and then forcefully pushes him into the waterbed. Now, David later recounts that he actually felt a blow against his stomach. The ghost man vanishes into thin air as he rolls off, and of course, he runs out of the house crying and refuses to come back for the rest of the day. Now, his sister, Debbie, speaks to Karen, who was the woman who was in the midst of vacating the premises. She still has some of her stuff there, including the waterbed. Now, Debbie asks her if anything out of the ordinary had taken place during her tenancy, and to her surprise, Karen tells her stories about seeing the apparition of an old man, just like what David had described. Okay, and that this was partly the reason she's moving, because she hears him whispering her name at night, going, Karen. I'd be moving too. But anyway, so late one night, in the darkness, she says she saw the apparition of this old man. And she says she was frozen in the bed with fright, and she says it slid into the bed and attempted to fondle her with icy hands. I'd definitely be out of there. But anyway, so over the next few days, the ghostly phenomena swiftly begins to occur within the Glatzel's home. In other words, this thing is now not appearing in the original rental home, okay? It's happening where David Glatzel lives with his family. And he says, he starts saying he can see the ghost man in his mind that's traveling out of an old well built into the foundations of the rental home in Newtown. Sees him glide above the trees and towards their home in Brookfield, Connecticut, which is where they were living. And he's hysterically pleading to his confused family to protect him because this ghost man is getting closer. Now, David starts yelling at the front door, and the family says that they hear three loud raps, like announcing its arrival, which, by the way, I've heard of this before. And Arnie, Debbie, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend, and Judy, which was David's mother, are starting now to taking into David's tale seriously, because I think before then they were just thinking his imagination had taken off, he was lying, who knows. Now, his mom, Judy, attempts to splash holy water at the door and at the windows and anywhere David is saying that he sees that the entity's trying to get in. Now, David then says it somehow finds its way in through the attic, and it waits in the hot rafters of the home. And he's trying somehow, hysterically trying to get shelter. Now remember, he's an 11-year-old. And he's in his house, which he should be safe. Now, strange sounds of banging, scratching, and objects being dragged around occur in the attic. I'm sure a lot of you have heard paranormal stories of this, of stuff happening in the attic. And I've done investigations myself. Even in crawl spaces. But anyway. So within a day, David explains how this goldsmith in the attic has had a bunch of helpers, 42 of them, and that they had come out of all the boxes that they had brought back from the rental house in Newtown. Apparently, maybe they were storing some stuff. Now, he's able to describe each of them. He calls them hideous monsters, bloody, deformed, mutilated, and horrific. And they each answer to the ghostman by number. Now, they, according to him, they paraded invisibly around the house, constantly fighting with each other, threatening the boy with torturing him, terrifying him. They look at him with glowing eyes, glaring eyes. According to him, one independently of the other. This must have been very, very frightening for an 11-year-old. Now, one day, about a month after they had arrived, his mom, Judy, reports that David has suddenly and inexplicably fallen down onto the bed, like if he's been shoved. When David's asked later on about what happened, he tells his mother that he had in fact been pushed by what he's described as the old man with burnt-looking skin who had pointed a finger at him and growled the word beware before throwing him onto the bed. Now, David's situation is going to get progressively worse. He starts to wake up at all hours of the night, sobbing uncontrollably. And when he asks what's happening, he describes how he's being visited in the darkness by this old man with soulless black eyes, animalistic features, sharp jagged teeth, pointed ears, and hooves. You know what that sounds like? Anyway, David claims that the entity is continuously warning him that if they move into the rental house, that they're going to be harmed. Now, the visitations continue, and before long, they start happening even in the daytime. And David is claiming that the beast, because they start calling him the beast, takes on the appearance of the old man with a white beard dressed in a flannel shirt and jeans. Okay, now, are we talking maybe this man in life was possessed by a demonic force and then died? That's why he's got two versions, but I guess we'll never have the answer to that. Now, David says that sometimes his apparition is snarling at him in some foreign language or threatening to steal his soul. Okay, now these visitations begin to be accompanied by unexplained phenomena throughout the house, footsteps, slamming doors, disembodied voices. Now, he starts also to exhibit wounds such as scratches, cuts, bruises on his body, no discernible reason, and his night terrors are getting much worse. And he's waking up in the middle of the night howling almost every night because he's so scared. And his mother one time says that she saw her son being choked by unseen hands and flopping on the bed like a rag doll. Now, his mom, who's very desperate, his mom, Judy, turns to Father James Dennis, who's the pastor at St. Joseph's, which I believe was a local parish they belonged to. I'm not sure about that. But now the priest comes in. He performs a ritual cleansing to the house. But this has no effect, and the phenomena continues. Now, Father Dennis had heard of such things before, but he was scared of getting involved because of the psychological toll that he had gone through because he had been involved in another exorcism about 10 years before. So he turns around and he contacts Ed and Lorraine Warren, very famous Ed and Lorraine Warren, the Warrens, who are in a neighboring town called Monroe. And he knows that they have information and that they've dealt with these cases before. So he connects the family to the Warrens. And when the Warrens arrive, there's a marked increase in the events and the apparent behavior on David. Everything gets worse. And he starts to have seizures, fits of convulsions that require him to get restrained. He's also at this point snarly, hissing, spitting at people. And it got to the point where there was always had to be an adult awake in case as he slept, just in case he would wake up and have one of these bizarre tantrums or seizures. Okay, now also at this time he starts quoting passages from the Bible and from Milton's Paradise Lost. And as you know, Milton's Paradise Lost, for people that don't know, it quotes things about paradise and hell and the devil, and it's very a convoluted kind of story. But anyway, he's speaking in voices that are not his own, and he's even reported that he can speak passages in Latin, a language he had no experience in. Now, David's sister, Debbie, she also asks her boyfriend, Arnie Johnson, to stay with the family for a while to see if he could help, because I guess they're going back to back trying to keep an eye on him. And it comes like a full-time job. By the way, the dad all this time, this poor man is working out there to keep, you know. So it seemed like it was the mom and the sisters and Arnie, who were there trying to figure this out. Now, according to Lorraine Warren, she says that while Ed was interviewing the boy, she saw a black misty form next to him, which told her that they were dealing with something of a negative nature. Okay, and that David was complaining that invisible hands were choking him and that there were red marks on him. He also said he had a feeling of being hit. Now, by then, the Warrens are starting to visit regularly. Okay, and David starts making references to murders and stabbings. And Lorraine Warren says, was made the comment that we are sitting on a powder keg. We know there were 43 demons in the boy. And according to Ed Warren, they demanded names, and David gave them 43 names. I don't know what they were or if they were numbers. Okay, now, the Glatzel family, along with the Warrens, then went and got David exorcised by a number of Catholic priests. The process continued for several days, concluding when, according to those present, a demon fled the child's body and took up residence within Arnie Johnson, who had been taunting it to enter his own body. Again, never a good idea. And from what I understand when I was reading even though I guess he was witnessing all these things, he really didn't take it seriously, and he wanted to challenge it. Now, when the exorcism was over, the Warners called the Brookfield police and suggested that they keep an eye on Arnie. I guess they thought, or they guessed what might be the possible outcome of what he had been doing with that open invitation. Now, making the whole affair even more mysterious was that although the Glatzels and the Warrens had talked about the exorcisms that had been done on David, the church itself then later on, I believe it was after the murder, went through great lengths to distance itself from these claims. The diocese officially stated that although a Father Vrugelak and three other priests had indeed been involved in helping the boy through his affliction, it adamantly denied that any actual exorcism had been performed. Now, the spokesman for the diocese, which was Reverend Nicholas Grieco, explained that to have done an exorcism, they would have needed the bishop's approval, and that no such approval had been asked for. Now, this sat squarely opposite from what the Glatzels and the Warrens were saying. Were they saying that, yes, that they had received the approval? Okay. After the two of the younger priests had approached the bishop personally. Now, making matters more complicated was that none of the priests who had allegedly been directly involved in the exorcism were permitted to comment on the incident to reporters or investigators, and all of them were mysteriously transferred to other parishes. Okay, and we all know sometimes that the Catholic Church does do that with priests, that they want to get out of the limelight. They take them to other parishes. Anyway, not long after this, Johnson, Arnie Johnson, you know, he crashes his car into a tree. And while he's unharmed at the accident, he would later claim that demons had taken control of him and caused him to crash. Now, Judy and Carl Glatzel, which were David's parents, they went and they got psychiatric advice for their son. And their family doctor said he was normal and all he had was a minimal learning disability. And he was enrolled in a private school for disturbed children. There's a difference here of the story. According to one story, Debbie and Arnie decided to move out because it was so uncomfortable. Okay. The other version is that they were already planning to move out to that rental home in Newtown, which is where everything started. But anyway, at this time, Debbie was hired by a man by the name of Alan Bono. He had just moved to the community and he was a dog groomer. You know, he owned a thing called the Brookfield Pet Motel. And right next to the kennel / grooming place, he rented the couple the adjacent apartment. All right. Now, Arnie, who never been in trouble with the law, you know, never had a problem. Debbie, I guess now that they're living together, said that she was afraid that demons were possessing him. And she said, stated that he would go into a trance and he would growl and say he saw the beast, and later he had no memory of it. In other words, exactly like what had happened to her brother David. Now, even though supposedly David had been exorcised, he was described as being a very smiling, open-faced boy. The attacks didn't go away altogether. They became less frequent, but they didn't entirely subside. Now, on February 16, 1981, Arne Johnson calls in sick to his work. He was a tree surgeon working for the Wright Tree Service. And he joins Debbie at the kennel where she's working, along with his sister Wanda and Debbie's 9-year-old cousin named Mary. I believe it was a national holiday. I think it was President's Day and the kids were not in school. So Alan Bono, who's their landlord and Debbie's employer at the kennel, invites them all out to go eat lunch at a local bar and, I guess, eatery, and starts to drink heavily. Now, again, there's a conflict of story here. In one version, the only one that was drinking heavily alcohol was Alan Bono. In another version, they're saying both Alan and Arne, or Cheyenne, as he was called, were both drinking. But anyway, after lunch, they all return back to the kennel. And this is the part I don't understand. Maybe the girls, they didn't, I don't know. She takes the girls out to get pizza, but she insists that they return quickly because she's anticipating trouble. Okay, now when they return, Alan Bono, according to her, is very intoxicated and he's becoming agitated. Now everybody leaves the room because Debbie's telling them, you got to leave. Remember, she's got younger kids there. And Bono grabs Mary, who's her cousin. I believe she was 9 years old. Okay, now supposedly Arne Johnson comes back to the apartment and tells Bono to let go of Mary. And Wanda, who's one of the young kids there also, this is what she's telling the police. And then Mary runs off, you know, into the car. Debbie goes back and tries to stand between the two men. Okay. And she's trying to pull her boyfriend out of the confrontation. Now, this is where the story then goes sideways, because Arne Johnson is described as growling like an animal, and he draws out a 5-inch pocket knife and stabs Bono over 20 times in the stomach, pulling the knife up and creating an incision around Alan's heart. And Alan Bono died several hours later. Okay, now, according to the reports, you know, most of the wounds, mostly to his chest, and one that was the one that actually killed him, which stretched from his stomach to the base of his heart. Now, later on, Arne Johnson was found about 2 miles from the site of the murder by the time the police came. Now, when this went to court, okay, Mr. Minnelli, who was Arne Johnson's attorney, had taped evidence of the priest confirming approval for an exorcism, which was presented. They had photographs of depicting scenes such as Arne Johnson kneeling over David on the floor with a crucifix pressed to his forehead. They had another one in which Arne Johnson is holding the boy down as a crucifix lies broken on the floor next to him. Now, despite all this evidence, the judge doesn't allow the argument because basically he was presenting a defense based on demonic possession. Throws it out and said that none of this evidence could be used. So they changed the plea to self-defense. Okay, based on the fact that Alan Bono had grabbed Mary. All right. Now, according to the prosecution and the police, they have a very simple explanation. They're saying that Alan Bono had made an obscene remark about Debbie and that Johnson had defended his girlfriend. I obviously didn't like what he said, and that they had tussled and that it led to Bono getting stabbed. In other words, that's really what the origin of the confrontation was. Now, after 3 days of deliberation, the jury came to the conclusion that Johnson was guilty of first-degree manslaughter. By the way, Arne Johnson was 19 years old, okay, at the time that this happened. Again, he had never been in trouble with the law. you know, he wasn't breaking the law. He wasn't known to police as being a problem. But anyway, he's sentenced to 10 to 20 years in prison. And he would ultimately serve only five. Again, this was for the verdict of first-degree manslaughter. Now, about a year before he's set to get released, he marries Debbie. This is 1985, and as a matter of fact, they are still together today, okay? And when this story came out, the trial, it led to a made-for-TV movie called The Demon Murder Case, and believe it or not, it stars in it as a very young Kevin Bacon, Andy Griffiths. And there was a book also written, The Devil in Connecticut, which, by the way, there's a side story there. Because apparently, and this is something I read, I'm not sure if it's verifiable or not, that after 6 weeks that it had been released back in the 80s, it was pulled from the shelves, supposedly because it's told a lot of truths. I'm not sure. I haven't read the book. But it was re-released now, I believe, in 06 or 07. Okay. Present day, Deborah is a co-host of a radio show called Demonology Today. Now, what you can ask yourself is, was David Glatzel possessed by 43 demons? Did one of them enter Arnie Cheyenne Johnson? Okay. Now, whatever did happen, demons or no, there's an evilness that exists in the story. It's about a little boy who was tormented by something, a young man who found himself overcome with anger, a middle-aged man who couldn't control his drinking, and a death that possibly could have been easily avoided. All right. I believe in, and again, after the movie and the book were released in the 80s, then in 2007, okay, the Discovery Channel released A Haunting, and I believe the name of the of that specific show is Where Demons Dwell. And of course, you know, because of the time constraints, they have a very condensed version of what happened. So, and I thought I'd bring this in because, as you can see, the paranormal sabotage thing, it's minor. Audio difficulties is minor. But I guess my point is that spiritual or demonic interference, okay, if it is legitimate, okay, I'm very careful about people wanting to use that as an excuse to escape responsibility for their actions or for something they did, or if maybe they're suffering from some type of mental illness. It's not an easy out, but it does exist, okay, and it can stretch from something very minor, where you get interference because you're going to interview a person that does exorcisms continuously back to back, because she's telling me that Rita Strugala is telling me how they have all these requests. And by the way, they do this free of charge. Okay. They travel and they go with her team, from talking about her experience and getting the word out, and clips about what she does. Something as bringing down the audio, which I was very upset about, believe it or not, to something as horrible as causing somebody to kill another human being. And again, I don't know if that case really involved demonic possession, but it does appear that there was something evil going on that resulted in the death of a man. And let me go ahead and let you see the second clip about another exorcism that Rita and her team did. Okay. And by the way, you know, it doesn't show it, but, you know, Rita says that these people, you know, that they see the change, they feel the difference. Okay. After the exorcism is performed, and she gives them an aftercare, what to do or what to look out for. And she tells him ultimately, you know, if you don't want this to happen again, you got to stop putting yourself in situations or in places where you're going to get another demonic, either oppression, obsession, possession. And ultimately, it's that person's choice. Chances are, though, her team is not going to go out there and help you out a second time, because she's got a bunch of other people that are waiting to get the help. So I'm going to let you see that second clip, and I'll be back. And Again, if you need to get a hold of Rita, just look at the credits.
Stay down.
Stay there.
Stay where you are.
Grab his leg.
He can't get into you.
Fight it.
Fight it. Say, I don't want you.
I don't want. Please get him away from me.
Cast it out.
Cast it out.
It's getting my chest.
Cast you out in Jesus' name. Come on, out. Out. Out.
Oh, God.
Come out of him now in the name of Jesus. Come out now. I pull you out in the name of Jesus. Cast you to the foot of the cross. Go now to the foot of the cross. You know your fate. Fight him, James. Fight him.
You have no place in this holy sanctuary. Get out.
This is a holy place. You have no place.
Ground. You are
leave
on
now.
Consecrated ground. You cannot stay.
You are on holy ground. Literally on holy ground. Come out of him.
In the name of Jesus.
Come out of him in the name of Jesus.
Oh God, it burns. Oh God, it hurts.
Get him out.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh God.
Cast it out.
Holy water.
It's going to
leave.
Holy water. Let me get it. It's right here.
Please. Help me. God.
In the name of Jesus.
God, forgive me what I've done to you.
I had a great show of it.
Forgive me what I've done to you.
Mother Mary, Mother of God, be with us now. Come upon us. Ambrose, I know you're here. Ambrose, I know you're here. Benedict, I know you're here. Pray for us. Be with us. Is it gone?
Where's the pain, James?
How's the pain?
So good.
Just extra mass for you and the Dawson is trying to get you.
It's trying to get me.
You okay? You need some holy water?
No, I'm fine. He's pissed off because he can't get me. Jump back in.
You're a bound spirit.
Name of Jesus, you're supposed to be at the foot of the cross. Go now. Let Jesus deal with you. No, you don't go back in him. No, you don't go back in him. In the name of Jesus.
Grab his legs.
Leave him alone.
Michael, look, angel. Michael.
Go to the foot of the cross in Jesus' name. Let Jesus deal with you now.
Jesus commands you.
Jesus commands you. Out.
Out.
Out now. For good. Out.
Get out of here now.
Leave this building.
You will not come back in here. You will not take over anyone. Do you hear me? You're out of here.
You have no hold over any child of God.
Jesus compelled you.
Yes, you have to take.
Out. I've had it with you.
Out.
Go.
Someone's choking me.
Let go of him. Let go of him. In the name of Jesus.
You're not coming back down. Forget it.
You can't leave.
You're going to leave. You're going to leave now.
Come on. Let go of him and leave.
Out in the name of Jesus. It is Jesus that is commanding you.
St. Michael.
Jesus is commanding
Saint
you.
St. Michael, help.
St. Michael,
Holy Mary, Mother of God, help.
St. Michael, bring your angels down.
Grab him out
again. Cut all binds and cut him loose out of James and get him out now. That's not going to fool anyone.
Nope. Got all day.
Turn him loose and come out.
Don't even try it.
No.
Don't even try it.
You're not gaining our sympathy.
You're out of here. You will not stay in here.
And you will not stay in James.
And you're not pissing me off, buddy. I about had it.
Come out. Jesus commands it. Michael the Archangel commands it.
The martyrs command it.
The saints command it.
How do you feel, James? You okay?
Thought just came to me, but you're all before everyone and be to the sound of the cross on everyone's forehead.
Absolutely.
And that's protection for them because they have not come back on them. And if you stand up there, would everyone form a line here and come up to Father Jim? Everybody. Everybody in here. Come up to Father Jim. What he's going to do.
Anoint you.
Is he's going to use his anointing oil and he's going to put the sign of the cross on your forehead and ask blessings on you.
Careful. There you go. Kind of bring him in here. Don't, not towards the door. Won't
look
you
at me.
Have a sit.
This way.
Okay.
You better get the hell out and stay out.
Everybody.
Protection.
This is all more important than mine. This is bishops all mine. This priest all.
Yeah.
Okay. Pray for protection for you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Not be hindered or abused by these demons in Jesus' name. Amen. If we protect you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
What's your husband's name? What's your husband's name?
Michael.
Protection in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're bind any evil.
You still got pain? You still got pain? You still got one? You saw what?
Here, get Michael here.
What did you see, James?
I saw pain underneath my chest. Or heel.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
the claw.
Hey,
Yeah.
I got you.
Oops. Be mad if the bishop got hit.
I was going to say, do you want us to do you? He fell down.
Yeah, he fell down.
I think he got that dizzy spell.
Yeah, it's on you.
Went after it came out.
Mm-hmm. Not back in yet. Tried to. And it's just the way. He's not around anymore. No protection around you against him.
Got a muscle cramp in the arm.
I bet. Bless your heart.
He's strong. He played football too. Yeah. He played center. Yeah, and he's stout.
Oh, yeah.
So, what did you think? Wow. Okay, and by the way, again, Rita and her team, they go out there and they do this just about every weekend to help people out. They also do things, you know, with the land. I mean, there's a lot of origins around this. And she's even described and where people moved into locations and houses that already had this there. Which, by the way, I want to bring up that one of my last shows that I talked about as a hypnotherapist about spiritual attachments, etc., what the danger is when people move into locations and don't cleanse them. Because you could meet the owners and you have no idea what went on there, what they did or even before them. Okay. As far as making sure that the location where you and your family are going to live is cleansed of either spiritual, negative spiritual interferences or just vibes, whatever. Always a good idea to cleanse it physically and cleanse it spiritually. And then, of course, placing guardians. Once you do that, to make sure nothing negative comes in, either directed or with people that visit. Because, yes, I want to do another show. Where I've had a lot of cases where people either have people visiting or living, you know, like a temporary thing. People do it to be kind or because they're put in certain situations. And then even after this person leaves, they leave something behind, which becomes a nightmare for the people living in that household. I hope you liked the show. Like, again, this was something I had to put together. Because I wanted to have the last word on this. I'd like to get feedback from my viewers. If you like it, if you'd like to see more of this, if you have suggestions for other people that you'd like to see, etc. I'm going to have a lot of interesting guests that are already lined up. Like I said, I'm going to have Rita back for that one-on-one interview. I have a lady by the name of Reverend Carmen Lopez Ditterbrand. And she is going to do a show about spiritual warfare versus territorial warfare. Really interesting. Okay. Something along these lines, but she's going to explain the difference in that. And she's going to talk about her experiences. As a matter of fact, not only here locally, she's even been to other parts of the world. Okay. To work with teams there. Okay. And I mean, I've had a conversation with her, and what she describes is, it's wow. Okay, I'm going to have her on. I'm trying to square away a time to bring her on. I've got Kalila Smith, who's an author. She's out of New Orleans. She's going to come in and do an interview. I've got a lot of interesting people that are going to come in here, and we're going to do a show on. And again, I'm going to do a field visit. I'm going to do a field investigation. I am going to do that. It's just, it seems like, again, I forget, I'm not going to use that as an excuse. Paranormal sabotage is just me basically procrastinating. Because I do have a lot of interesting places, even locally around here. I'm also going to be going again, like I said, in the field with other teams. And we're going to be doing live, broadcasting live investigations out in the field. And again, I'm hoping that you are going to subscribe to this channel. You're going to like my videos. And you're going to come back every week and let me have your feedback. Do you like it? Do you not like it? What you would like? And again, I really enjoy spending this time with you and producing this show for you. And I hope I'm going to see you every week. Take care.